Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas, the season before Christmas, which seems every year to start earlier and earlier, is a season of lights. There's so many decorative lights all over the place and in preparation for the celebration of this important festival. Now, perhaps this year there might not be as many lights as we're used to seeing as in years past, but there still are some. You see them as you drive or travel around the city, perhaps in your own house already. Lights are not just something that are nice to look at, nice decorations, but as God reveals to us in His Word, there's also a deeper spiritual significance in relation to light and darkness. Now, when you think about it, you can't really appreciate the light until you first understand and have experienced darkness. And we all have some concept of darkness, physical darkness. Think about whether it's late at night, in the middle of the night, or the wee hours of the morning. If you get up out of bed and you stumble and grope about, perhaps stubbing your toes on the bedstand or fumbling around, perhaps knocking things over in the darkness until you find the light switch and are able to turn it on. But then once you do that and once that light hits your eyes in the midst of that darkness, it might not always be such a welcome thing either. We're not always so happy about the lights coming on, especially if perhaps the previous night, the night just ending, we've gotten too few hours of sleep, and then the light might not even be such a welcome thing at all. As we think about the gospel reading that we just heard, we think about the fact that the people living at the time of John the Baptist, at the time that Jesus was about to begin his ministry, that they were really living in the dark. They knew their Old Testament Bible well enough to realize that God had promised that the light was coming. They knew that God, who at the very beginning of creation had made light appear just by saying, "Let there be," and who separated light from darkness, and who had led His special creatures from the fall of out of their that light of God's love into sin, but who had brought light back into their lives by giving them the promise of a Savior who would come in the future, shining a glimmer of light into the darkness of their sin-filled world. They knew that this God had promised to restore His full and glorious light, the light of His love, of a harmonious relationship with Him, by sending a Savior who would rescue not just them, but all people of the world. They knew that the same God who had spared their ancestors from the darkness of hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt, who had led them through the wilderness by a pillar of fiery light into the promised land, this God had also promised to bring them who had been walking in the darkness of this world of sin, into the light of His eternal kingdom. A kingdom about which the prophet Isaiah exclaimed, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Yes, God had promised to the house of Jacob, to the people of Israel, and they knew, they believed, they would come and walk in the light of the Lord as He sent the light of His Savior into their lives. And so the people at the time of John the Baptist and of Jesus knew that God's light was coming, the light of the Savior that God had promised. But even though they knew that, they were still, at least to some degree, in the dark. For one thing, they didn't know when that promised light of the Savior was coming. And second, they also didn't really understand very clearly exactly what that light would be, exactly what the Savior would do when he came. And so when it did come, now when Jesus was already there, he was living among them already, and even as he began his public ministry, they did not all see or recognize that light. But at least, however, there were some people who were looking for it, who knew God's promise and who were expecting it, which unfortunately, as we think about our world today, is more than we can say for everyone in our world. One of the most tragic things about people who are walking in the darkness of sin, of this sin-filled world, is that many times they don't even realize that they are in the dark. We have the light of the sun. We have electric lights that give light for our physical eyes to see. But yet, our attitudes and our actions reveal the spiritual darkness of our sin and of our selfish self-centeredness. Because we are blinded by our sin, our sin keeps us spiritually in the dark. We, by nature, don't even realize the depth of our depraved and helpless situation. By nature, we're perfectly content to live in that sinful condition, in that ignorance, unaware of the full will of God, God who justly demands righteousness and holiness of us. Think about the ways of the world. Think about why people don't get excited about God or about church or about their Savior. Why is that? Well, it's because they don't feel that they have a need for the light of God's love and salvation. Because they don't even realize that they are surrounded by darkness. And sometimes even we who already know our Lord and Savior Jesus, and who already know His light, sometimes we fall back into that realm of darkness. Sometimes we shun the light of God, and instead we live for ourselves and for our own desires, rather than for Him who died for us and was raised again. We fail to do His will. We neglect Him in our worship and in our prayer, not to mention in our daily lives, where too often the darkness of the sin-filled world around us begins to creep back in and to overwhelm our faith instead of allowing it to reflect the light of God's love. Sometimes we stand more as a tiny flickering flame rather than as a guiding beacon of light to this sin-filled world around us. It's no wonder that the message of John the Baptist, who, as our text tells us, came to bear witness to the light, also came preaching a message of repentance. When the light of Christ, of God's word, exposes our deeds of darkness, our words and our even the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts that go against His will, we stand guilty before Him. And though we may not always immediately appreciate that kind of light shining into our hearts and our lives and exposing all of the sins that we have committed, though we would often gladly just roll over and go back to sleep in the darkness of our spiritual slumber, yet we know in truth how much we desperately need the light of God's word to shine into our hearts and to show ourselves even our own sin, our need for God's forgiveness, and also to show us then our salvation. Of course, just realizing that we need the light also doesn't guarantee that we can find the light switch. Here is where the priests and the Levites sent from Jerusalem had their problem. Yes, they were looking for the light, the Savior that God had promised to His people and so many times throughout the Old Testament. The light was already there among them, but they couldn't find it. They couldn't see it. They asked John, "Who are you? Are you the Christ? Give us an answer. How about Elijah, the prophet, the one like Moses, whom God had promised to send to his people? We need something to report back to those who sent us to you. We see John humbly giving his answer, not claiming glory for himself, but he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord," just as Isaiah the prophet said, which we heard about in our Old Testament reading last Sunday. No, John was not the Christ. He was not the promised Savior. As we read in verse 8 of our reading, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And we see that that's just what he did. In verse 26 of our reading, John answered, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." The very ones who came looking for the light did not see it themselves. In fact, as we see in the Gospels, in the Bible, throughout Jesus' whole ministry, they would still, most of them, would still not see him, recognize him as the true light, the Savior that God had promised, as he really was. Even though they saw Jesus' miracles of giving sight to the blind to bring them out of physical darkness, even though they heard him teach and preach so clearly, "I am the light of the world," yet these same men who on this day came to John looking for answers, many of them would end up being the very ones who condemned Jesus under the cover of darkness on Maundy Thursday evening. How easy it is to miss the light, even when it's right in front of us. Just as those men missed the witness, the testimony of John the Baptist to the true light. It's so easy to get distracted by all the flashy lights and distractions of the world around us. Perhaps the goal of personal happiness, which our society places such a high value upon, expressed so often in terms of this materialistic world, of satisfying all of our desires for stuff and for pleasure in this life. Or perhaps it's the modern denial of the supernatural. As Christians, yes, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but maybe we're so often tempted by that scientific so-called worldview that says God could not possibly have created the world. There's evidence that proves that it came about over billions and billions of years by a natural process. So we begin to doubt about those other supernatural parts of the Bible. How many people today either miss or misunderstand the light of God? People who think that the real world is just the world around us of fun and entertainment. And as a result, they miss the whole purpose of this season of light, the purpose of Advent and Christmas and of Epiphany and even of Good Friday and Easter. Thank God that the world's lights, that the flashy lights around us that so often distract us, that people's attempts at finding light for themselves are completely overshadowed by the true light of the world, Jesus our Savior. Thank God for the witness of John the Baptist to that light, that light of Jesus that alone gives light to all people on the world. Because without a message telling us about this true light, we could not have found it on our own. We need somebody to show us the light, to find the switch for us and then turn it on for us. John the Baptist comes to us today, this Advent, and he bears witness. He testifies to the light. And so does the whole testimony of God's Word. In our first lesson from Malachi chapter 4, we read about the Sun of Righteousness, who would rise with healing in its wings. We know so clearly who that Sun of Righteousness is, who that true light is. God's one and only Son, who came to this world to die for our sins, to redeem us from the power of the darkness, who himself suffered the darkest depths of hell in our place, and who rose again from the dead in glory and splendor to give his light, to give life to all people of the world. When we come confessing our sins, when we admit that we are people walking, living in the darkness of sin, when we realize how desperately we need light to show us the way back to God, to show us God's love for us, then, suddenly, miraculously, the switch is flipped. The light comes on. And we see our Savior, Jesus. We behold first a baby in a manger. But we understand that the crib of Christmas finds its meaning only ultimately in the cross of Calvary. This child came to die. To die in our place for you and for me, so that we would not suffer the darkness of death, of eternal darkness and suffering, totally cast out and cast off from the love and blessing of God in hell. That we would instead be given life, the eternal light of God's love with him forever in heaven. Think for a minute of your own childhood, or perhaps your children or nieces or nephews. If there was ever a time when you or they were just terribly afraid of the dark. You didn't want all the lights to be turned off. You didn't want the door to your bedroom to be closed at night. Why do you suppose that is? Maybe it's the uncertainty or the unfamiliarity of not really knowing exactly what is where when those lights go out. Shadows of darkness transform sometimes even the most familiar surroundings into something a little bit eerie or spooky. But then when mom or dad turns on the light, all is well. That mysterious shape off in the corner you can see, it's just your stuffed animal. And of course, we know that the monsters or the snakes under the bed never come out when the lights are on. When the Holy Spirit turns on the light of Christ for us in our lives, everything changes. We see our whole life. We see the world around us for what it really is in the true perspective of God's Word. No longer do we need to live in a world of fear, because we know that our sins have been forgiven, that the power of the devil over us has been crushed. No longer do we need to grope about in the darkness spiritually and in a futile search to try to find some meaning and purpose for our lives, because we know that our lives have meaning and purpose as dearly loved and redeemed children of God through our Savior Jesus. No longer do we need to chase and strive after any number of ultimately meaningless and false goals in life in order to try to find peace or joy in the darkness of this world, because we have seen and we know the true light of God's love for us. And so with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the true and only light, we can walk confidently in faith throughout this life on earth until God brings us to that eternal light of his love in heaven. We have seen and experienced this wonderful light of God's love. We know the one about whom John the Baptist was giving witness, and we can add our own witness to John's testimony as well. Our reading tells us that John came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. Maybe remember the, the children's gospel song, "This little gospel light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." That's what John the Baptist did. He took his little gospel light and he let it shine for others to see. That is the joy and the privilege that we have of seeing the light, of being enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's Word. We join together with John the Baptist in giving witness, reflecting that light of the love of Jesus to us. We can be the mirrors by which other people may see Jesus in us and His love, see His love working through us, so that they and many more people may believe. So that those who are still today living in the darkness of sin and of guilt and shame and fear might share in the life of knowing God's forgiveness and all His blessings. This is the season of lights. We know the one who is coming, the one true light. We have seen His light and experienced that we live in His light. We understand the lights of Christmas. We follow the same star that the wise men followed to worship the newborn King. We see Him revealed through His epiphany. We know ultimately the full revelation of the glory of Jesus as the Savior of the world. By God's grace, we will meet Him in the light of heaven, that light that has no end. We will live forever in that light. And so now let us live in that light of His love, and let us, by His grace, reflect His light to the people around us who so desperately need it.